Hello, boys and girls. This is RJ up in the Tower of Power. I've got Robert sitting at the table in front of microphone number one. In front of microphone number two, we have Frank's, looks like he's got Diet Coke there.
Yeah. Yep, and his empty seat.
And his empty seat. So yeah. We're just going to kind of carry on until Frank gets back in here.
Yeah. Things that are going on, there's so many changes going on right now that it's affecting us in so many different manners possible. And, you know, the state put in a mandatory closure of non-essential businesses.
Right. But they did say biking, fishing, and running are
right.
exempt.
Right.
Church services are exempt.
Okay. Think about that.
We can go to church. We can't go anywhere else, but we can go to church, and I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We want God on our side in all of this. But
absolutely.
We also don't want to be in a church packed with a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But
yeah, but at the same time, they've been saying 6 feet and churches are a potential problem, but you go into any other business and there's people still standing right on top of each other.
It was like that last night at Publix. I went in to do my normal shopping routine since I'm not into the panic side yet. And there were a lot of people in Publix because concerned about the shutdown that happens at midnight tonight.
Right.
So they were out hoarding whatever they could possibly hoard.
Yes.
And so I'm looking around and I'm thinking there's plenty of places here where just a couple of feet apart from people and people are picking things up and putting them back down again and all the rest of that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
No, neither do I. And unfortunately, you know, with this closure, we're not sure either. So that's why Frank is actually out there on a phone call trying to figure it out because, you know, he's trying to basically find out if we're going to be open for business tomorrow or not. You know, because it's people have been calling us all day long asking us if we're going to be open and through this, and we don't have a clue. We honestly have no idea yet until we get approval from the state attorney's office and the county attorney's office, because all of those play a role into what businesses are deemed essential or non-essential. So it's a little bit frustrating, you know, but we're doing our best to try to get answers as quickly as we possibly can, but we're not the only ones going through it. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing for everybody that they got to realize. I don't care if you're in the grocery store or going fishing. If plan A isn't there for you, have plan B and C ready to go, because this is not what it was 3 weeks ago when it was just, hey, do your daily grocery shopping or weekly grocery shopping like normal and buy your normal stuff. Now you got to take your time and think about it. And if that doesn't work, don't get bowed, bent, or freaked out. Do your best. Take care of yourselves. Take care of everybody around you that you possibly can. And things are changing by the hour, literally. So
you know, we talked about that prior to going on the air. This is a moving target, and it's a very difficult one to tie down.
Yeah.
Because things keep changing, and a lot of these events were not planned out well in advance. All right, so we're going to have a closure. Well, who's going to be who is going to be essential and who's not? And if you look at the list that came out from the state, it's like 11 pages long of exemptions.
Right.
And so where do we fit in the exemptions? Like fishing is exempted. If you're going to go fishing, you can go fishing. But can you go by bait? We don't know the answer to that yet today.
Right.
And can you have curbside service for bait? We don't know the answer to that one yet either.
Yeah. The main thing is just try to be safe and be a good person. Don't be that 10% that's a complete jerk out there, because this brings out the best and the worst in people. And I would much rather see the best in everybody out there, because guess what? Those people at the grocery store that are ringing you up, the guy at the gas station who's taking your money for gas or a soda, the guy who's catching your bait at the shop, they're all nervous, scared, and flustered, too, of not knowing. And you need to be appreciative of all those people that are trying to do their best to bring some normalcy, so to speak, to our lives. So be thankful and grateful to all those people that are trying to do their best. Don't freak out because, oh my gosh, they don't have this, or hey, when can I get that? They're the same as you and I, you know. So take care of everybody and be kind to everybody as best you can, because there's enough crap going around, let alone people adding to it.
Right, that's a really good point, Robert, is we're all in this together. This is an invisible enemy that we've never confronted before in the history of our race, and we don't know definitively how it moves, how we get infected.
All right.
So we just have to go with the flow, and we're in this together. And like Robert says, be nice to each other. Be helpful to each other. Don't hoard. There's no reason to hoard. There is enough food and supplies coming down the pipe if you just follow your normal buying procedure. When you go and buy 100 rolls of toilet paper, and everybody in your neighborhood does that, well, of course you're going to run out of toilet paper, because this store isn't designed for everybody to have 100 rolls at the same time.
Right.
Okay. I have been, Frank here, you might recognize the voice. They tell me I'm distinctive.
Very.
Did he say stinky?
Yeah. Actually, you shouldn't say. I had a shower this morning, so my hair's still wet. All right. I've been in touch with the county, Charlotte County. Now, what I'm about to say applies to my business and Charlotte County, not Sarasota County, not Lee County, not anywhere else. I've been talking to Charlotte County regularly. Hats off to Charlotte County for doing the best they can under horrible circumstances. We've got a guy named Brian there who is really above and beyond. Now, at the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, I was speaking to people this morning, and again, as nice as they could be, as helpful as they could be, I was directed to the COVID hotline in Tallahassee. I just got off the phone with the COVID hotline. We are considered essential services. Now, according to the guidelines, we will have people at the front and back doors, only allowing 10 people in the store at a time. We will be social distancing. But our store, our in Charlotte County, Fish and Frank's, will remain open during this. Now, there will not be availability of everything you want. We cannot get products. We can get bait. The bait truck, the bait boat are considered essential. Now, Fish and Frank's is just from the state of Florida, COVID hotline. We are open. We will be open 8 hours a day, 8 to 5. Now, if you're working and you need us to be around a little longer, we're going to try and accommodate that. One of the things that we're going to do is I need to limit the exposure of my crew to people who potentially would have the virus. So we're going to be having more people on per shift, people at the doors. We ask you not to get upset with us when we are going to do the best we can to get through this. If you're out of work from the COVID virus, from this COVID-19, when you come in, please tell us that you got out of work from this. We might have a surprise or two we can help you with, or not, but I believe we might. We're going to do everything we can to allow you to practice fishing. It won't be everything we want. It won't be everything you want. But this is what's going to happen. We're going to do the best we can to ensure that you can get out and relax, maybe get away from a problem at the house. But Fish and Frank's is going to be there. I've been on the phones and emails for 2 days now. and this has been literally the most stressful time of my life. Do I put my employees through this? They have the option, all right? They don't have to work. But I will be there. I'm pretty sure Robert will be there, at least for most of the time. We're going to cut everybody's hours down, but not cut their pay. We're going to run essential shifts, but everybody will still receive the same money that they did before. No one will, you know, be cut when I cut their hours. If they cut themselves out, that's a different story. But for my time, this is what's going to happen. A little emotional today because we're literally talking a lot of people's lives and a lot of people's recreation, a lot of people's mental health, all this stuff. This has just been very, very taxing. And we ask everybody to, you know, kind of respect that because it will not be business as normal, but there will be business. So, anyway. All right, I got that off my chest. This has been freaking killing me, man. I am like, holy cow. So, anyway, Robert, what do you think? Good or bad?
Right in the middle.
Yeah. Should we close and keep everybody safe? Should we open and keep the mental health? And that's literally what we're doing, is keeping people, allowing them to go out and solitary fish.
Right.
Not in groups. Party boats are closed. Charters are closed.
Piers are closed.
Piers are closed. Boat ramps are open. Shorelines are open. Now, in Charlotte County, you cannot use any of the public facilities. You cannot use a park bench, a picnic table, a gas grill, a shelter, a walkway, or a pier or dock. But you can be on the property, which allows you to fish from shore. So we have a lot of freshwater places, a lot of saltwater places. Go on fishandfranks.com. Now, there's nothing for sale on fishandfranks.com. This is from us to you. There's dozens of places. When I get back to the store, I will be adding places as fast as I can. If you come up to a place and there are people there and they're spaced out properly and you see that that's what's supposed to be there, and you want to join, don't. Go somewhere else. If you cannot be properly spaced out, a fishing rod length apart is the easiest way for you to remember this. If you can't turn your rod to the left and to the right and not hit a person, you're too close. You need to be a fishing rod length apart. That's a good rule. It's easy to tell. Hold your rod to the right if somebody comes up. That's how far away they must be, or farther. If you cannot space yourself at that distance at a place, please go to the next place. If you join the crowd, you will get that place shut down. This is not something that if you feel that you're being inconvenienced, tough luck. It will get these places shut down. So plan A, go to one spot. The plan B is you're going to have to go to the next one, maybe even the third one. But we will post enough places where you can find a solitary place to fish. That's what we're going to do. Now, I hate to be using my gloomy, darn you voice, but this is serious stuff. If we want to be able to maintain our recreation, if we want to be able to maintain a little bit of solitary sanity, this is what we have to do. We must distance. We must not overcrowd a place. If you get there and it's crowded, go to the next place. I will be working as much as I can to get as many places up as possible. So you can look on fishandfranks.com. Nothing for sale there. There's no profit in that for me. Go to the website and maps of where to go fishing. Already there's dozens of spots. We will add dozens more. And thank you. Now I think we can use a little bit of fishing. Holy cow.
Wait, is that what the show's about, fishing?
Well, that's what we were trying to be about and trying to maintain it for this next month.
Well, and you got to remember, too, that this is at least, and I emphasize at least, a month long. We don't know what it's going to look like 2, 3, 4, even 5 or 6 weeks from now. We're just going to have to wait and see. And so
fishing, to be quite honest, I did not know if we would reopen if we were closed for 4 to 6 weeks.
That's right.
And I did not know if we'd be able to reopen the store. So
I think it's important, too, to know that something like fishing is going to be important to your mental health. It's also groceries.
Yeah, you can go out and get dinner. Vinny literally fed 4 other families for dinner.
Yep.
There was so many Spanish mackerel. Him and his wife both took a limit and then filleted them up and handed them out to the neighbors right there in their cul-de-sac. And everybody had kind of an individual community fish fry.
Yeah, I love it.
They were, you know, Vinny was getting cheers coming in there, so.
I think that's an old tradition for fishermen. I remember when my grandfather used to go fishing in Rhode Island. They'd go twice a year for bluefish, and I guess it'd be in the fall, and cod in the spring. And they would come back with a pickup truck or a station wagon full of fish, and you would watch him go door to door with these big cod or these bluefish, giving them out to the neighbors. And that's what fishermen did. They helped to feed the neighborhood. And so there's no reason why we can't continue that tradition today. Help your neighbors out. Give them some good fish protein.
And it's very cool. You know, you're sitting there and, you know, but, you know, don't wander around the neighborhood trying to give away fish, because most people won't cook it. Believe it or not, we've had that happen many times. But your close friends, you know, meat protein, especially fish, the vitamin E, the enzymes, all the stuff, it gets you healthy. This is a time to, let's not take our limits on everything, but if you're going to go fishing, I would probably, you know, if it's you and the wife, take a fish, fillet it out. It's good, healthy food. That, and remember, if you catch it, kill it, clean it, eat it, that's the cleanest way to live. Having somebody else do your dirty work for you, you don't know what they wasted. You don't know how they did it. Do it yourself. If your hands are a little bloody, your inside, your soul is a little cleaner, because you don't waste anything. Now, I'm hearing night fishing, which is really, it's cold today. What the heck happened with it being cold?
Yeah, where did summer go?
What?
Summer was here a couple of days ago.
I literally got out the big jacket this morning. You know, I usually go out and I'm in a towel. I sit on the porch, have a coffee, a smoke.
Yeah, you know, one scene can't be unseen.
What's seen and unseen? Yeah, you don't want to see this. But I go out there this morning. I got a towel on. I sit down in the chair, put my coffee down, go to light a smoke, and I'm like, holy cow, is this cold? I mean, back in the house, grab the big jacket, go back and sit on the porch. It must have been 60 degrees this morning.
Yeah, 55.
For here at
55?
55.
How do people live up north?
I have no idea.
It was brisk this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So what does that do for the fishing, that we had this sudden drop in temperature?
Makes it better.
The best part about it, especially for the night fishing, it keeps the bugs down.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because the summertime, the bugs have been terrifying the last several weeks.
And, you know, if you're out fishing at night and the temperatures are in the, you know, 70s and 80s, there's a lot of bugs. Now, the only thing I have found, we've got that one no-see-em spray that seems to be pretty good. You like that,
yeah,
right?
It works very well.
I have to have something with 40% DEET, because I don't have a bad problem with mosquitoes or no-see-ems. They don't seem to be attracted to me. But when they do, it's, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so I have to have something with 40% DEET. When you're reading your can of bug spray, look, most of them are 9 to 12%. But 40% will keep away no-see-ems. 12% will keep away mosquitoes. But you need 40% for no-see-ems. If you're up north, you call them chiggers. Down here, we call them no-see-ems. But I grew up there, and chiggers are the no-see-ems of the north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But night fishing, where, you know, what are we talking about? What's available?
There's guys that have been going out several different times this past week that have either overlapped their day afternoon fishing into the nighttime or flat out have been going out at night. And they've been catching some incredibly large redfish. some big snook, and of course the tarpon that have been in the passes, you know, in Captiva Pass and Boca Grande Pass, and even a few in the harbor. And as this full moon comes up, there's going to be, I think, a much, much better feed going on, because there's so much life out there in the harbor right now.
You know, but I'm going to say, too, if you ever wanted a time to go out and fish at night when there's almost nobody there, and then being able to sleep through the day and not watch the news or see anything going on, this is probably the best time in history to go fishing at night and sleep away the day.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of the most peaceful things you can do. I've only gotten to do it a couple of different times out there, but it's weird to go out there at night and fish any of the flats, you know.
Are you a big night guy, RJ?
I love night fishing. I don't get to go that often, but when I do, I thoroughly enjoy it. Especially if you've got a fairly bright moon.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing more fun than, you know, working a topwater in the moonlight and getting a big explosion as a big snook or a redfish grabs it, or anything at that point grabs it.
All right. Here's the question. If you're out night fishing with a topwater, do you want silver, white, or black?
Oh, there's a good one for you.
Now, I know the answer.
You know, all right, so I'm going to guess. See, I would probably want the silver.
Okay. Why?
I'm thinking that the moonlight's going to reflect off the silver and give me some flash in the water.
Possible. Robert, what's your idea?
I had a good teacher, so I already got the
you
answer.
You already know the answer.
Nah, you sound all right. Good.
For years, it made me crazy wondering what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So I did the obvious thing. I caught underwater at night.
That's why I thought RJ might have this one, being a diver. I figured,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've not seen many lures at night underwater. So.
Well, what we do see underwater at night, and I did it with lures, but what I found was true in a swimming pool, freshwater pond, or the saltwater area. When you look up from underwater at night, it looks like a sheet of silver mercury. It is bright silver.
Yes,
when
yes,
you're
yes,
underwater
yes.
at night looking up. So what will contrast best with a solid silver surface? Black.
Black, you're right.
Black is the color at night.
When you look up from underwater, it looks like you're swimming. Sometimes you see yourself. It's such a great mirror that it looks like you're swimming into yourself.
See, and even you, an experienced diver, you already know this stuff. But sometimes when you point back out the obvious, you go, oh, yeah, I know that.
Black would make the difference.
Yeah,
you're right, because
absolutely.
It would really stand out on that surface.
No, and it does. It can make a big difference, you know, so I'm going to stick with anything very dark in color, whether it's black, dark gray, hot pink. I don't care. As long as it's a dark color, that's going to be my first ultimate choice. But, you know, the weird part is like we're so so accustomed to fishing the shoreline and along the bushes. And what people don't realize is those fish are there for, A, protection, B, to be an ambush predator, to be able to sneak out and grab those fish or baits that are disoriented from going from the bright light to the dark light or from the dark light to the bright light. So they like to hang along those edges. But at nighttime, it becomes a completely different world out there. Those fish move out from under the bushes. A, there's no pressure on them because the only predator they've got to worry about is another fish. They're not having to worry about a wading bird of some kind. And let's face it, 99% of the boats out there are off the water, long gone, so they don't have any of that pressure. They're just happy fish doing what they do, and a lot of their food source is nocturnal. You've got hundreds of different types of little worms, shrimp, and crabs that all bury down into the sand and mud and stuff during the daytime, but at nighttime, they all come out to feed, so do the predators. So you'll catch snook 50 feet. Even 75 yards from the nearest mangrove shoreline. You'll have redfish, shark, cobia, tarpon, all those fish that like to hang out in a little bit deeper water on the outer edge come up into that shallower water to feed on the snook, the redfish, or trout that are up in those shallower areas, and even mullet and sand bream. You know, so there's an abundance of food for all these different predators. And on top of that, the stillness of the night, every explosion is magnified tenfold. So a 5-pound snook popping in the water sounds like a cannonball being dropped in the water. It just, you're always, that unknown is really super intense.
So fishing night from shore,
mm-hmm.
am I going to use live bait? Am I going to use artificials? What should I be doing?
I mean, I like to use both, but I mean, really, it's more convenient, like under normal situations, being able to fish from the shore. I usually carry artificials with me just because I don't have to lug my bait bucket and all that other stuff. I can carry 10 different lures in a little tiny Ziploc bag, essentially, in my pocket.
Yeah, and can cover a lot of ground when you do that.
Yeah.
My favorite tackle box is the little plastic bag I take out of the store, the little thank you bag.
Yeah.
I've had that as a tackle box more than anything else because I'm a mess, let's face it. I'm really a mess. You guys have seen my truck.
Yes.
You know, in the store, we have to be, you know, this, we have to do everything.
No, we have to clean up and organize after you.
Yeah, they all day long. Everybody there knows that once I work with a customer and everything's all scattered from out to breakfast, and here I go, and then everybody comes in. They pick up after me, but, you know, we all have our faults.
Yeah, it's all
but
good.
I have a little plastic baggie that I carry with me.
Going fishing today for this, so I need this, and this in my bag. Okay, here we go.
Subsurface lure. Now, at night, I don't really know what color I would choose. I don't think I'm going to do silver, but I think white, purple. What would your subsurface lure, like a crankbait, either a Rapala X-Wrap, a Crystal Minnow, something with a lip on it? RJ, what color are you going to go to at night?
Well, you know, you guys fooled me on the black, so I'm going to
no,
be
this
careful.
No, I don't know. This is straight out. I got no good answer.
I would think that at night underwater, you want things that are going to amplify the light, the little bit of light that's being penetrating, or else you want something that makes noise. So a rattle trap would probably be my first choice for subsurface, something that's going to make noise, something with a BB in it, something that's got a little propeller, whatever.
Robert?
I'm with RJ on that one. I've never been a big fan of colors. You know, when I used to fish with Angel underneath the Eljo Bean Bridge years ago, his favorite color was the silver blueback mackerel. My favorite color was the gold greenback mackerel. But when they got rid of the rattles out of it, that's when it became a problem. Neither one of them worked as well, so what it boiled down to is I think it was more about having some sound vibration in addition to what you were throwing with that confidence.
There you go.
And sound is important at night because, as we were saying before, there's way less activity in the water. You don't have prop sounds. You don't have bouncing around in the boat. You don't have
cars going over the bridges.
Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff gets reduced. So any sound you do make is going to be a big deal.
So when we're talking about night fishing, let's say you're going to go underneath the 41 Bridge or even Beach Road out there in Englewood or down in pick a bridge. If you're going to go night fishing, what we're talking about is not that it's dark out. We're talking the car traffic has died off. So some bridges, 6-7 o'clock at night, there's very little traffic after that. Other bridges don't calm down till 10 o'clock at night, like the 41 Bridge.
Right.
There's really not going to be an increase in the fishing until after 10 o'clock, because somewhere between 9 and 10, the cars go they're tremendously less traffic.
Right.
And every time a car goes over that bridge, the vibration of the tires and concrete go down through the pilings and expand out through the water. Crazy noisy. Once you eliminate that, everything calms down, that's when everything picks up. So at the 41 Bridge, you've really got from 10 at night till about 5:30 in the morning. 6 o'clock is about as much as you're going to be able to fish there with the benefits of overnight fishing. But getting out there, and okay, it's dark out and having a tremendous amount of traffic on the bridge, when we fish under the bridge at Algebeen, you can see a dramatic difference from constant traffic to the occasional car. And once it's an occasional car, the fishing is tenfold what it is when you have continual traffic.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a giant increase.
And I can tell you as a side note, having dove near bridges that have expansion joints on them, when the car tires hit those expansion joints, it's almost painful underwater, the boom that you hear that's traveled down, like you say, it travels down the concrete pylons into the water and it gets amplified. So, yeah, the fish during the day, if they're even there during the day because of the sound, at night.
Why they would be there, I don't know. I wouldn't be underneath there, you know. But what's going on in the ICW? The ICW, for those who are not sure, Intercoastal Waterway. ICW, Intercoastal Waterway. We're talking about the area behind the Barrier Islands from Venice down to Captiva, Sanibel.
Everything, to be honest. I mean, the redfish, snook, Spanish mackerel, sharks. I mean, you can kind of take your pick right now along the Intercoastal. It's some of the most amazing fishing that I've seen in a while, and this is always that springtime where it's that magic moment of everything happening out there, and the water is almost gin clear. I mean, I don't know about today because of the wind shifting directions and stuff, so it might have clouded it up a little bit, but everybody has been talking about all these fish and bait and stuff that they can see, all the bottom, the stingrays. You know, in 8-10 feet of water, they're able to see the bottom out there. A lot of guys are sight casting some very large snook that are in some of those deeper sand holes, and especially down in Pine Island Sound where you've got mangrove shorelines that have 6-8 feet of water underneath the edges of them, you know, big potholes, which you've showed me a few different times. It's just amazing to see how deep some of those spots are underneath a mangrove.
Has anybody heard, do we have any phosphorus in the water right now? Or is that something that we get once the rains start?
Usually it becomes more predominant when the rains start. There's always some out there because we have those jellyfish out there that have that ability to with the phosphorescence in them, so they'll still light up a little bit. But the actual algae tends to get really fired up when we get some good fresh water flow coming down.
Oh, yeah. And while I'm thinking about it, we have quite a few places in Northport, but I'm going to be getting a hold of the DeSoto County people and finding out, because DeSoto County's got so many amazing places that you can walk up to the river and fish.
Right.
So we're going to be adding a lot of that because DeSoto County's really cool.
Yes, so, they are.
Basically, we were talking about different fish that are available. I forgot to bring a tide chart. As of this month, on our tide chart, we are listing edible fish that are legal to catch. You've got triple tail, cobia, Spanish mackerel, whiting, sheephead. I forget what they all are, but everything on the front of our tide chart right now is all about edible fish that are legal to keep. There's only 3 species in the harbor you cannot keep. We've got, like, I think 9 or 10 on the thing. We tried to get 12. We couldn't fit them all. But this is...
I thought I took a picture of it, but I didn't.
I know I should know them. I actually wrote the fish and did the thing on them. But I would have to say, looking around right now, if you have a boat, now the boat ramps in Charlotte County are open. Commercial charters, party boats, they are closed. But if you have a boat and you and your buddy want to go out, remember, you have a limited amount of people allowed on a boat. You cannot put 10 of your favorite buddies on the boat and go fishing. Must abide by the laws and rules and social distancing and stuff. But out in the Gulf, there's so, I mean, the king mackerel are off the chain. It's crazy. They're skyrocketing. There's so many fish out there. It's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. There's been some pretty impressive reports of the king mackerel in the last several days, from a couple being caught in the passes, but most of them are about 2 miles to about 25 miles offshore. The biggest one I've heard of so far in the last couple of days is 28 pounds. But a lot of those fish have been in like that 15 to 18 pound range. Had also several blackfin tuna. I had two different guys today talk about the blackfin tuna.
This is the craziest thing ever, the blackfin tuna. Mm-hmm. Now, it is an amazing, if you eat tuna at the grocery store and you kind of like that, or at a Japanese restaurant, this is better.
Oh, yeah.
This is better than what you are going to buy at the most exclusive, best, you know, sushi restaurant in the world is what's available right here in the Gulf of Mexico. This is high-quality, wonderful food. And whether you're searing it, whether you're sushiing it, whatever you want to do, this is awesome eating. And it's, well, I can't deal with that until we get off the show, okay? You didn't text them anything, did you?
No.
Okay. They're just asking.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out shrimp orders. Everything in our world has been on hold. I mean, we have to get bait in. We have freshwater bait, saltwater bait, live bait. We got dead bait. I mean, there's all these variables that we did not know what to do with. And people are texting us, what do we do? You wait for us to get done with the show. We're doing a radio show for our people right now.
Yeah, this happens to be live, boys and girls.
Yeah, it's just a live show. What the heck? All right. Blackfin tuna, it's astounding how good this is.
And where are we picking up these blackfin tuna?
Well, we go to Robert.
One guy got his 3.5 miles off the beach.
Wow.
So like 28 feet
the
of water.
Reefs.
Yeah.
You're looking for reefs, and you're looking for schools of bait.
And every one of them had been caught on live bait, free-lined out the back of the boat while they were bottom fishing, playing around with other stuff. They were either anticipating a king mackerel or a Spanish mackerel free-lining a bait out the back of the boat while messing around with other stuff. But every one of them have been on live bait.
Now,
do the tuna run with the mackerel?
They'll mix in with them.
Do you see them together?
Yeah, they'll mix in with them. You know, this time of year, a lot of times they're running with bonita. But haven't heard of very many bonita in the last week. But there's been enough, I guess there's enough food, because all the guys are talking about the bait balls that are out there.
I'd be willing to bet a lot of the people mistook the blackfin tuna for bonita when they were catching them and letting them go. They look radically different. But unless you're kind of into those fish, you're going to look at it, it's got the right shape. It's shaped just like a bonita. I think a lot of blackfin tuna have been released because people thought they were bonita.
Yeah.
Because we heard of a guy coming out there the other day, and he was catching 5 to 20 pound bonita, and he said they look funny. And I didn't have the heart to tell him they were probably blackfin tuna.
Yeah.
So, wonderful eating fish, but you only need one on a vessel. That's a lot of meat on a tuna.
Well, considering the average tuna here is 20 plus pounds. You know, this is not like the Keys or the other coast where the average tuna is 2 to 5 pounds. These are actually legitimately, most of them are 20 to 30 pounds. 25 pounders are pretty much the normal size range for a blackfin in the Gulf.
No. And catching a tuna is like catching an errant torpedo.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, if you want to hear anything strip off, I mean, tarpon will strip off line, but nothing like a big tuna will do.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing.
And what's weird, they don't have that big a tail.
No. No, but they got that big caudal fin on them that
they swim with their whole body. If you ever see video of tuna swimming, that they're swimming from the gills on back. It's not just the tail whipping around.
Yeah.
But you look at the big fan on a tarpon's tail versus the skinny little V of a tuna or a bonita or even a jack.
Yeah.
Think about the difference. Can you imagine what those fish would be like if they had a solid tail down the back?
Yeah.
I mean, this would be... No, landing them. Yeah, you got to get a tow truck.
Yeah, there probably would be the only fish in the sea at that point other than catfish.
Other than catfish.
Other than catfish.
Why is it?
Because they would eat. They would eat
like
everything.
The cockroach of the sea.
They are the
war.
Cockroach
still
of the
catfish.
Sea.
Catfish.
Well, there's something to be said though about that V-shaped tail, because a lot of the fastest fish in the ocean have those V-shaped tails, but they also have that little caudal fin that's that hard bony piece that kind of sticks out like a little foil or fin, going more horizontal from the body rather than their tail being vertical. They got that little keel basically. Well, and then sometimes above that and below that, going where the backbone would be, they've got a couple of, I forget what that little bone is, that those little knobs right there on the back of their tail. You know, your marlin, your sailfish, wahoo, king mackerel,
swordfish,
they've all got a pretty predominant forked tail that just allows them to somehow scream through the water. It's pretty impressive.
All right. So anyway, Spanish mackerel have this forked tail as well.
Yes,
now,
they do.
Once you get in the near Gulf, best Spanish mackerel spots right now in the harbor, around marker 2, a little bit around 41. Marker 5 is doing okay. The artificial reef is doing fairly good. The deep holes in the harbor have some Spanish, and it's worthwhile trolling through there. But getting out into the Gulf, starting literally almost from within a cast ashore on out. But you're not allowed on the beach, so you can't do that. Beaches are closed. But there is just such a variety of places you can go and do this. But one of the things, and I had a thought here and I lost it when I did that, I guess if I'm going to go out to the deep holes in the harbor, I'm going out with a DOA bait buster, a big bobber. I'm going to put the DOA bait buster 6 to 8 feet below that bobber, maybe even 10. I'm going to set it out behind the boat. I'm going to get a couple of them out there, free spool the reels, drive away from them, shut everything down, sit and drift. Now, tarpon.
Yeah.
There is tarpon out there. There's a 150-pound fish out there. Now, you want to talk about some stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hook up a tarpon. Let him skyrocket 3 or 4 times up in the air. You're not going to know if you're well sick, if the world's good, if the world's bad. For that time, it's just you and that tarpon.
Yeah, they've been out there in the 20-foot holes, and they've been on either side of them more than anything else. So what you've really got to do is, this is the time where, honestly, you have to have a heck of a lot better vision than I do. You know, you got to, these fish are rolling quite a bit. So you got to kind of look for some rolling fish or have a very good side scan on your boat and look for those fish, because they're not in super big groups. They're running anywhere from 2 to as many as about 15 or 20 fish to a group. So you're going to come across these little small pockets of them as you're going by them or seeing them roll around. So it's pretty interesting with that activity. And the handful that I've been hearing about with consistency have been on the lower portion of the 20-foot hole, more towards the west wall.
All right. Now, RJ, we got about 10 minutes or so before the end of the show. So remember to turn off the mics this week.
Yes. Yes. Now my bathroom. Now that my bathroom habits are public information.
The wife said, "What were you guys doing?" I was like, "I was laughing and coughing." You're running to the bathroom. This is a live program that must be ended at the appropriate time.
That's right. We must turn the mics off. I will. I'm making a note for myself.
Yeah,
turn off mics.
Okay. There is so much stuff going on, and it's so hard to stay sane in this. And I will tell you the one thing I know, whether it's about fishing, about the viruses, about anything in your life, your opinions will change, and what you think you have to do will change upon receiving new information. It does not mean what you said the day before was a lie. It means that, oh, gee, I found this out. I used to throw white topwater lures at night, and I believed in it because it was dark out. And then one day I found out, no, it's not right. I have to throw blacktop water lures at night. It does not mean I was lying about it before. It means I simply was able to accumulate more and better knowledge. And then I changed my opinion. It's not a flip-flop. It's not a lie. It's your opinion should, as a reasonable thinking adult, change as you receive more information. And the more information we have about fishing, viruses, life in general, your attitude and your opinion should change. Should you, if that's not true, you would still, and I know some people like this, that when they finished high school, have the exact same opinions, think the exact same thoughts at 60 years old as they do at 18. This is not healthy growth.
So, what growth?
Yeah, what growth? Why would you do that?
That just stopped.
So,
no. Yeah. No, there's definitely a lot to be said for that because we're, you know, people constantly say, well, you're the expert or you're the professional. And I tell them, no, I'm constantly learning new stuff every day because most people who claim to be a professional or an expert quit learning.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm smart. I mean, and do you know why I'm so good at my job? I will tell you, this is the honest to God truth, people, when you're listening to me. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. I have everything from gas leaks, boat plugs, holes in boats, wrapping fishing line around my head, getting stuck with fish hooks. I have had everything go wrong that can possibly go wrong. Maybe even more than that. What normal persons go through. When I go out fishing, everything can go bad. I am not kidding. Do you know what that does? I have to figure out how to fix it. So things that sometimes take me weeks, months, or years to figure out, you can find out in a few seconds. I can say, no, this is what it is. Why? Because I've been through it. I have lived through that. People say, well, what about this? What about that? I say, this is my best recommendation. Why? Because it went wrong for me. I broke the rod. I snapped the line. My knots came undone. All these things. What we try and do every day is have these mistakes, go over these with customers, try to get it so you don't have to spend years figuring out what is going wrong. We already did it. So the truth of the matter is what makes me so great at my job, I'm a little unlucky and a little klutzy and, you know, not as coordinated as I could be in some instances. But we'll let that pass.
So can I ask about fresh water?
Yeah.
Because I finally got 10 minutes of fishing in on Saturday. Went over to Bob Miller's house, one of our guys here at the radio station. He's got this great little canal behind the house. And I had about 10 minutes to spare, so I went and got the rod out of the van, stuck a black and silver worm on, and on the first cast, I nailed a bass, might have been 5-6 pounds. And might have been is because I never adjusted the drag, and I had 6-pound test on the reel.
Okay.
So what I learned was, check your drag before you throw the first cast.
Well, and it's not so much that you have the wrong drag setting. I have been taking reels apart. How many times lately, Robert, have you seen me with the spools on the counter, everybody's drag washers spread out all across the counter, cleaning them, oiling them, putting everything back together? Because when you're done fishing, this is not something you cannot do if you want your reels to work properly.
Right.
You have to loosen the drag. If you don't loosen the drag, especially after you get a couple good fish on, all that dust from the drag washers goes around. It's mixed with water. It turns into cement. It literally glues the drag washers together. They won't turn. So if you don't back your drag off every time you're done fishing, it should be lightly snug, not tight. What this allows it to do is the drag washers to expand back to their normal size. I can tell instantly when I take the drag washers out of somebody's reel if they ever back it off or not. How? Because the inside is smushed flat, and on the outside, just outside of where the washers, the metal washers reach, it's much thicker. it forms a lip, a ring, all the way around the outside of that drag washer, showing how much the inside has been crushed and flattened and how thick it was supposed to be. This is not a guess on my part when I take your drag apart and I go, here's your problem. And they go, oh, no, no, yes. There's no negotiation here. So when you're done fishing, loosen the drag up till it's just snug, just so the line does not pull easily off the spool.
And you don't lose your drag cap.
Yeah. And you don't lose your drag cap. Make sure the drag cap is snug enough where it's not going to come off. But when, if you have a reel you haven't used in a while and you did not back the cap off, you have to first turn it with your hand. You want to run it to the right, run it to the left. You want to make sure that it starts, that it's actually working the way it should, because most likely it somewhat froze up. And because of those washers being crushed, the dust particles, the stuff that's actually been taken off your drag washers, locks it up, binds it up. So you're going to be surprised if you go up to reel and you go to turn it with your hand because you haven't used it in a while, how hard it is to turn it. And so quite often it's not that you had your drag set incorrectly, it's that you did not loosen the drag cap. And always turn the spool by hand first to make sure that it's actually getting its correct motion. Because that fish tried to move that hand or move that spool, the drag washer said no. And by the time the line popped, it had just started with letting the drag release. And that's what usually causes people to lose fish when they haven't fished all the time. Did that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You were the one who went through that.
That was definitely directed at me. Everything you said, that reel had been in the back of the van for months and months. I had not loosened the drag cap on it, and I didn't even think I went down, stuck a worm on, and threw it out there and got a fish on. Everything else went exactly according to plan.
99% of the people out there do exactly as you do, because there's not me to tell everybody.
That's right.
That's why you listen to this show. You listen to it because somewhere in the line, there's going to be this little nugget that made all the rest of the BS worthwhile.
That's right.
So how much time we got left?
Listen.
Oh, we're done?
Yeah.
Well, from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for listening. We are going to stay open. Please be healthy. Please be safe. Please space apart. Please don't get upset when it's inconvenient. Please just be nice to everybody. This is Fish and Frank here. Robert's in the chair across from me. RJ's in the golden towers of chrome and power. And together, we're This Week in Fishing, and thank you for listening. Hook, sinker, and line. I said.